Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
Hey everybody, how are you doing today? Good, good. You alive? You're ready to go? Happy Thanksgiving. My name is JD. I'm on the team here at City Life, and I'm excited to continue the series that we are on. Heart for the House. Everybody say, Heart for the House. Yes, that is what we're talking about, and that is not just a series graphic or a title. That is a way of life, and today I'm excited to just spend some time talking about that. For me, I have been in this house for 21 years, and it has been incredible. It has been a journey and a half just seeing what God has been able to do. And man, it's cool to even just see through all the physical stages, right? Like, I was here when it was in Christ the King School in the gymnasium, and then we got the building above the old restaurant on Main Street, and then we came here when this was just like a workout gym, and then we took over this, and now we're building next door, and we made another room with a really long hallway all the way to West Edmonton Mall, where our second service is happening, and so exciting, all these things. But when I think of house, I don't really necessarily think of a physical building, although that is part of it. I think of a home, and I think of all the people that have made an impact in my life. And man, from my friends, my connect group leaders, my pastors, everybody who has invested in me and actually drew out the best of me, brought out what was in me that I didn't even know was in me. And I'm sure that story is true for many of you in this room. It might be really recent. You're like, yeah, actually, this is kind of happening right now. For some of you, it's like, yeah, it's been this incredible journey of discovering who I am as God's house creates an opportunity for me to expand and grow. And I'm excited for that. In John 2:17, I love this verse. John 2:17 says, passion for God's house will consume me. Passion for God's house will consume me. Not just passion for God, that is definitely part of it, but even like just passions for God's house will consume me. What he's doing through the church, the lives he's touching. Man, I'm obsessed with that. And that verse I feel is so true for me. I have a passion for God's house. I have a passion for his house because his house represents something to me. Not just a church building. Not even just a gathering of people. I believe that God's house is plan A. Plan A. He established, he said, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to build my church. This is my plan A. Everyone say plan A. Plan A. There is no plan B for God. He's like, plan A, the church, I'm making this work. And I am 100% on board with God's plan A. I think it's incredible. And I desperately want to help get it right. Because you might be here and you're like, if the church is plan A, you already messed it up. Because maybe you have some bad church experiences or whatever. If you've had anything like that on behalf of whatever happened, I want to say, I'm sorry. I mean that. I'm sorry if that was your experience. And not that we are perfect by any means either, but we have a heart and a desire to get it right and reflect Jesus properly to our world. That is our heart. That is what we want to do. That's our heart for the house. And so today's message is not a plea to get you to give or serve or anything like that. You know what? Today I'm just sharing a love letter from me to Jesus out of gratitude for what he has done in and through me because of his house. And if you get something out of that, fantastic. But today I just want to share that. So I want to start with a question, actually a few questions, just to think about. What do you enjoy doing? It's whatever pops in your head. What activities do you gravitate towards when you have free time? What makes you feel accomplished or at ease? What character traits are you complimented on? What do people say they like or admire about you? What type of people are drawn to you? Are you good at making things? Do you make people feel comfortable and invited and welcomed in conversation? Are you really good at organizing schedules? What is your talent? I want to ask that today. What is your talent when you think of whatever that might be? And that could be a variety of things. But that's where I want to spend a little time on today. Now, you're probably smarter than me. You're definitely smarter than me. But I didn't see all the obvious talents that were in front of me that I had. I had to have people kind of push me into things. Like, I'm alive, pushing me into things. And people would say, hey, you should try this, or you might be good at this, or whatever. And I just kept getting pushed, mostly by that wonderful woman right there, who just pushed me further and further into things, and I don't regret any of it. It's amazing. But, you know, I think of all the areas that I got pushed into that maybe there was a seed, maybe I saw, or maybe I didn't think anything could come of it, but making videos, writing stories, drawing, public speaking, one-on-one conversations. I mean, there's all these aspects. Even being asked to help lead our kids' church is pretty incredible. I remember being asked to do it and saying, hey, we see how you are with your kids. Why don't you do that for all of our City Life kids? Now, I'm not a perfect father, but I do believe I'm an intentional father, and I'm proud of that fact, and I think it's amazing. I love my three kids, and I told my wife, we had to stop at three, but I was like, can we just have, like, a lot of kids? Like, I just want to repopulate the world with good people. Can we please do that? I had to stop at three, but then God was like, wait a minute, maybe that's not it. Maybe you can do more than just your three. What if you get an opportunity to reach hundreds? I find it kind of interesting that the things that we think are maybe just our own abilities that we have just for fun. Oh, I'm good at this, but it's just for this little party trick or whatever. I wonder these things that we're good at or that we care for, that we love, maybe they're things that God are saying, hey, I actually have big plans for that. I want to do something bigger with that than what you might even realize. Something that seems normal, something God wants to use on a greater scale. And I believe that God is saying, hey, I'm inviting you into something bigger and better, more fulfilling than anything you've had before. And we know we've got talents, but we don't always know what to do with them, right? And we're not always sure. It's like, what are they really for? And see, Jesus understood this tension because he had to work that through with his disciples. His disciples felt the same way. It's like, Jesus, we love following you around. We love being a part of what you're doing, but we're not fully sure exactly how we bring anything to this. You're the superstar, but like, how do you want to use us in this? And so Jesus responded, just them alone in an area, and he says, I'm going to tell you a story. So I'm going to tell the story that Jesus told today in Matthew 25. And it goes like this, and starting in verse 14, it says, this is how it will be. It will be like a landowner who's going on a trip. He instructed his slaves about caring for his property. He gave five talents to one slave. Now, a talent then was just like a form of currency. Don't know exactly how much it is, but it was a lot. It was a lot. He gave five talents to one slave, two to the next, and then one talent to the last slave, each according to his ability. Then the man left. Promptly, the man who had been given five talents went out and bartered and sold and turned his five talents into ten. And the one who had received two talents went to the market and turned his two into four. And the slave who had received just one talent, I know you're like, oh, he made two, right? I can do math. This is working. No. He dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money there. Eventually, the master came back from his travels, found his slaves, and settled up with them. The slave who had been given five talents came forward and told his master how he'd turned five into ten. Then he handed the whole lot over to his master. Excellent. You've proved yourself not only clever, but loyal. You've executed a rather small task masterfully, so now I'm going to put you in charge of something larger. But before you go back to work, come join my great feast and celebration. Then the slave who had been given two talents came forward and told his master how he turned two into four. And he handed all four talents to his master. And again, he says, excellent, you proved yourself not only clever, but loyal. You've executed a rather small task masterfully. So now I'm going to put you in charge of something larger. Before you go back to work, come join my great feast and celebration. So, five guy and two guy, feeling pretty good. They're pretty jacked on this. One guy is kind of like, oh, crap. Oh, wow, they did really good with their money. Okay. So then, finally, the man who had been given one talent came forward. Master. Okay, how do I start this? Yeah, I'm gonna do this. Master, I know you're a hard man, difficult in every way. You can make a healthy sum where others would fail. You profit where other people are doing the work. You were rich on the backs of others. So I was afraid. dug a hole, and hid the talent in the ground. Here it is. You can have it. The master was furious. You are a pathetic excuse for a servant. You have disproved my trust in you and squandered my generosity. You know I always make a profit. You could have at least put this talent in the bank. Then I could have earned a little interest on it. Take that one talent away and give it to the servant who doubled my money from 5 to 10. You see, everything was taken away from the man who had nothing, but the man who had something got even more. And as for the slave who made no profit but buried his talent in the ground, his master ordered his slaves to tie him up and throw him outside into the utter darkness where there is miserable mourning and great fear. Boom. Now imagine sitting there as Jesus finishes that story. You know, everybody's disciples are kind of just looking at each other. Peter's just like, dang, Jesus, that was kind of harsh. Oh, wow. That was a pretty intense story, especially right there at the end. But Jesus shares this story with them for a reason. He is the master. They are the servants. Jesus is in a process of making all things new. In fact, he's only 2 days away from completing his rescue mission because it says in the next chapter, just in a few verses later, it says, chapter 26. And so this is what happened finally. Jesus finished all his teachings and he said to his disciples, the feast of Passover begins in 2 days. That is when the Son of Man is handed over to be crucified. So yeah, the ending of the story seems harsh. The servants tossed out into utter darkness where there's miserable mourning and great fear. But Jesus knew something no one else knew yet. That the dark place the servant was being sentenced to was the same path that Jesus was on. He was the one who was going to go and embrace that darkness and ultimately defeat it. But he knew what was coming. And this is important because Jesus was entrusting his closest friends, his closest followers, with something more valuable than anything they could ever get on their own. And it wasn't meant to just stay head knowledge. And so he's like, how do I help you guys really get this? I'm going to tell you a story. And so he tells this story to help them understand the significance. So you can't just keep Jesus's good news and the kingdom of heaven to themselves. Guys, you can't just hold on to this and bury it away. I need you to run with this. I need you to do something with this. I need it to grow and expand because what I'm about to accomplish is going to change everything. But I don't want it to just stay buried in the dirt. None of us would be here. Not a single one of us would be in this room today watching online. None of it if they just buried it in the dirt. And so they got the point of the story and they said, okay, I can run with this. And so Jesus is saying, I need you to be like those first two servants, giving different amounts of responsibility according to their talent, but they did something with it, whatever they could. Don't be like that third slave that, you know, that are kind of like the Pharisees that get under my skin. And, you know, Bartholomew puts up his hand. Jesus, why do you always pick on the Pharisees? I mean, aren't they the religious leaders? Like, I don't get it. And then he's like, well, it's because they ooze religion. They've been given so much. They've been given the law of Moses and the temple and all these wonderful promises of God's blessing, but they're hoarding it to themselves and they're keeping it because they're afraid it could be taken away from them. So they're hoarding it. That's what I can't stand about what they're doing. And that is not what God wants to happen. So this story is so much more than a story because Jesus is clarifying the importance of our mission. Our mission. The story was written down and preserved for 2,000 years because Jesus is saying the same thing to us. That I am building something great. And my church, my house, is my plan A. And I need everyone to be a part. I want you to be part of my plan A. I've given you talents to help make it happen. And what you have is bigger than yourself. So my question is, what will you do with what you've been given? What will you do with what you've been entrusted with? So I want to give you 4 thoughts on what I think is required of us. Now I'll give a disclaimer because these thoughts are for people who have declared, it's like, Jesus is my Lord. He's the one I'm following. I'm all in with Jesus. I love his church. So absolutely, that's for us. That's for people like us right now. That's who I'm talking to. And if you're here and you're like, I'm not a follower of Jesus, I'm not even sure about the whole church thing, that is totally fine. You can still get a lot out of this. It still applies because every single one of us wants to make a difference. I fully believe that. We all do, in some capacity, in whatever way. We all want to make a difference, but I can't help but bring Jesus into the equation because I believe I'm here to make a difference. I believe the greatest way I can make a difference is through love. And I believe the greatest expression of love that the world has ever seen is Jesus. So it just makes sense to have Jesus in the equation. So with that said, four thoughts on what I believe is required of us. Number one, God has entrusted you with something. God has entrusted you with something. And as it says in the Gospel of Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. I love that book. With great power comes great responsibility. God's handing us responsibility. He's saying, will you take ownership of what I've placed in you? Your gifts, your abilities, your talents, your desires, everything that's in you that just seems like it just makes up you, but it's like, do I do anything with this? He's like, yeah, I want you to run with this. You got to take ownership of this and responsibility for it. God has given you everything that makes you uniquely you. And somewhere in every area of your life, there are ways that your puzzle piece fits into things. What do you uniquely bring to your family as you lead it, as you're a part of it? What do you uniquely bring to your workplace? What do you uniquely bring to the church, to this family? What do you uniquely bring that only you can bring? And sometimes it's finding that, but it's not about being elite either. It's not about walking around, like say you jump on a team here at church, you walk around, you're like, that's not my puzzle piece. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. That doesn't perfectly fit my puzzle piece. It's not about that. I think it's about just doing what we can and believing that God is going to uniquely fit us exactly where he needs us. And that is what he wants to do. And I love what this says in Galatians 6, 4 and 5. This is so good. Paul gets this, and Paul's talking to the church, and he's like, hey, we got to understand the significance. He says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given. So he's like, just take some time, take some you time. Figure this out. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. See, he's saying something that still rings true thousands of years later. It's like, okay. Don't make this a big deal on your Instagram or don't try and make yourself look bigger than you are or whatever. And don't compare to others. Can we just not? Can we just not do that? Paul's like, please, before that starts lingering in your head, can we just not do that and not go there? That is not our motivation. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. That's so good. Just taking responsibility for the creative best that we can do. Second thing is God wants you to use what you've been given. We've all been given something unique, but God wants us to use what we've been given. The last servant digs a hole and he hides the money. I mean, was that really so bad? He wasn't stealing the money. He wasn't laundering it to himself or not even wasting it or whatever. Was it really that bad of a thing what he did? Well, it's less about the action. It was more about the motivation. Because again, look at how he responds to the master when he presents it again. I was afraid. So I dug a hole and I hid it in the ground. And so for fear of losing everything, he did nothing. For fear of losing everything, he did nothing. And come on, we do the same thing in our lives. We've all done this. How many of us have missed opportunities to do something significant with our gifts or our talents because of a fear of failure? What if this doesn't work out? The incredible singer and musician that only tinkers around with it at home or only sings in a shower because you're afraid of stepping out onto that stage. Or that warm and loving person who just, you have so much to give and yet you won't get close to people because what if they reject you? And so we hold back. You've got a treasure that you may be burying out of fear. And there's different kinds of fear. There's self-doubt. I don't have what it takes. I mean, come on, remember when you were, I'm sure we've all had this, you remember like being in school and a teacher, asks a question and you know the answer, but you don't put up your hand. What if I'm just maybe wrong? I don't want to look like a fool, but I know it, but no. Or maybe it's self-pity. I tried that before. I messed up. I got burned or I got burned out, so there's no point trying again. Maybe it's self-consciousness. What will other people think of me? And we see the servant do that. Master, I know you are a hard man, difficult in every way. He's already projected how he sees the master and how the master's going to see him. I was afraid of you. You're a hard man. Don't you think it's kind of weird that neither of the other two servants gave any indication that the master was harsh? Like, even if he was a tough businessman or whatever, they gave no indication that they were afraid of him, that they were worried. I mean, they promptly obeyed when he told them what to do. And they did it willingly and properly. And yeah, but it's perspective. I mean, today you can sit here and you can hear whatever you want to hear. You can sit there and be like, man, this guy on stage, he just wants me to give up my free time so that the church can just use me for my abilities. You could hear that. I can't stop that. I can't stop that train of thought. Or maybe you hear what I'm saying is like, this place is going to fall apart unless you help us. We need you. The church is about to die. Save us. You could hear that. Or maybe you could just hear me say, I love this place. I love you. And I want you to experience what I've experienced. You get to decide your perspective. We don't want to live afraid or lazy. I mean, think about it. It probably took him like 5 minutes to dig that hole. But the master was gone a long time. Like, he had time to even change his mind and be like, all right, maybe I'll dig it back up. Maybe I'll go to that bank. He thought of the bank. He's like, I could have done something with this. But he was just lazy and did nothing with what he had. Man, we are not designed to just sit on the sidelines and waste opportunity. Not at work, not with your family, not with friends, not here at church. We're not designed for that. You grow and develop and contribute when you're in the game. Not a bench warmer, when you are in the game in every area of life. And today we are talking a lot about a heart for the house, a heart for God's house, and what can come with being a part of that house. Because I believe, I'll say it like this, like, my wife really felt God tell her years ago, he told her, if you will take care of my house, I will take care of your house. And so that's been our motivation as a family for years. If I take care of God's house, he'll take care of my house. He'll take care of my life and every other area. I'm going to make this a priority because I see the blessing that comes out of it. I see the incredible things that happen, and it builds so much. And yet the servant is complaining about this master. Oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Yeah, you know what? God holds us to high expectations. He does. But he has a right to. Like, he made us. He gave us everything we need to do this. He wasn't just like, plan A, figure it out, suckers. He was like, I'll give you everything you need to do it properly. My plan A is going to work, and it's going to work through these people. And we're all like, well, that doesn't seem like a wise choice, God. He's like, no, it is, because I've given you everything you need. You just got to tap into it. He's not harsh and demanding. He's loving, and he's equipped us with everything we need. And Jesus is expecting a return on his investments. I mean, why wouldn't he assume? Why wouldn't he assume that we've grown and capitalized on what he's given us? He designed us to get better at life. He designed us to grow. It's how we function in so many areas of our life. Why wouldn't he assume that we're growing and developing these things? Third thing, there are repercussions for whatever decisions you make. Oh, no, don't talk about this. God's word constantly reminds us that your decisions matter and what you do can bring reward or loss. And we see him talking about that. You know, he's responding to the servant who had 5 talents. You proved yourself not only clever but loyal. You've executed a rather small task masterfully. So now I'm going to put you in charge of something larger. But before you go back to work, come join my great feast and celebration. See, if we use our talents, there's going to be a reward involved. That well done, good and faithful servant that God wants to say to us. I mean, we even there in that response, we see 3 rewards. Affirmation, where he says, you prove yourself not only clever, but loyal. You are these things. Like, affirmation's a good thing. It's good to hear those kind of things from God or anyone in our life. Promotion, I'm going to put you in charge of something larger now. You proved yourself. And celebration, come join my feast and celebration. Now look at what happens to the last servant. The master's furious and he goes off on him. You could have at least put the talent in the bank. You could have earned a little interest. Take that 1 talent away. Give it to the servant who doubled my money from 5 to 10. Jesus is showing us, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you don't use it, you'll end up losing it. Now, you might not lose your physical ability, talent, whatever, whatever, but you might lose the opportunity that he's created to do it. He's setting up opportunities, but it's up to us to do something with it. God is gracious and he's kind, but he's not stupid. He wants you to step up, but he's not going to force you. He wants you to be the one saying, pick me, pick me. But if you don't put up your hand, he's going to say, anybody, anybody, anybody? No, I'm not going to make you. Okay. Oh, there's a hand. Boom. Here's a hand. Boom. He'll run with whoever responds. God doesn't lose. I believe he only ever has a plan A. There is no plan B. And I don't think we can mess that up. If you say no, he doesn't go, oh, crap, now what do I got to do? He's like, all right, I've got another plan A. I wanted it to be you. But if you won't, I have another plan A. Don't you want to be plan A? Like, don't you want to be plan A? I don't want to get missed over and find out later. It's like, I was like, man, I wanted this for you and this would have happened and this would have been the impact. But you said no. Ah, no way. I want to be plan A. So use it or lose it. It's up to you to choose it. God is doing something big through his church, and I don't want you to miss it sitting on the sidelines. And today there's all sorts of people here. There's some, you've been running this race incredibly for years. Some of you, you're considering it. Just what is it like to be a part of church family? What is next for me? That is so important. And I just look at 2 Chronicles 2:5. Man, I love this in a message. The house that we are building has to be the best. Why? Because our God is the best. Our God is the best. He deserves the best. And you are the best. You have something to give and contribute that is going to keep building. We've been building for 27 years, and we don't want to stop ever. Like, seriously, ever. I think a couple weeks ago, I took my son, Micah, and we snuck next door after everyone was gone. I had him, like, I'm like, come with me, I have an idea. And I get him to stand right in the middle of the big room where our auditorium is going to be. It's awesome. And I back up, and he's just standing there awkwardly, and he's just like, what? And I just looked at him, and I was like, I wonder if one day you might be standing on this stage telling people about Jesus. What are we building for? What can we bring that will continue to build and build and build? There are so many areas of our life that we should invest in, absolutely. But I believe God's house is something that will last forever, that you could, it would never be a waste of time to just like invest in God's house and giving of our best. Man, there is something that will last, that will impact so many people. And I want to see that. And it takes all of us coming together to do that. And so this isn't meant to feel like pressure, like, oh, I got no choice. I'm going to let everybody down if I say no. No, no. Even if you never contribute, we love you and we're glad you're here. But because we love you, we want to invite you to contribute. We want to invite you to be a part of what God is building, because there is something you get to bring to what God is building. In 21 years of being pushed past my comfort zone, I don't regret it. I don't regret any of it. It has impacted every part of my life. And I'm reminding you, maybe who have invested, maybe you've been here longer than I have, and you have faithfully just invested in God's house, your time, your talent, your treasure, all the things that you're doing. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for what you have helped build to get even to this place. I think it's incredible. And you're going to hear some great stories of some of those people in a couple weeks at Heart for the House Sunday. And I'm inviting you as well, that maybe if you're on the sidelines, you're just like, I'm not sure. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I want to invite you not to bury what you have, but to start investing your life in something bigger than you, something that lasts, like God's house. Because I really believe. You're like, oh, do I have to pick church? And then I want to, no, I think like when you, it's like our family mantra of just like, man, if I will take care of God's house, God will take care of my house. He will take care of everything else. If I make what his plan A, I want to make that priority. If I do that, it will bless every part of my life anyways. So I'm not going to wait and try and fit something in. I'm going to run with it. Can we stand as we wrap up today? It is not too late. If you even feel it's like, oh man, it's too late. I've squandered too much. God's like, no way. There's still so much. You can step up and you can still hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God wants to do something incredible, and now is the time. I mean, think about it. There's more room. More room means more opportunity for people to grow on team. for you to step on and find a place for yourself, find a way to contribute, to find the people that maybe the people that you want to see come. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, oh man, I wish other people could experience this. Maybe if you are on team and you're going to be at those new doors on that other side of the building, you might be that first person that's welcoming that person in. What can we do together to build towards what God wants to accomplish? So my question today is, do you have a heart for the house? Because serving is the key that unlocks your heart for the house. And we need to unlock something fresh and new. So I want to take a moment and just pray for us. But I also want to invite in, because what is it to serve in a house if you don't know the person who owns a house? We need to connect with Jesus. And when we understand Jesus, you'll understand his heart for the house. And then you'll feel the same way. And so it starts with that. And so I want to invite you to pray with me as we respond in saying yes to Jesus. Can we do that together, all together, and just say, Jesus, thank you for what you accomplished. You made all things new. There is a new reality, and I want to function in it. Thank you for your church, for your plan A. I want to be part of what you're doing. Give me wisdom. Give me a heart to invest and point me in the right direction. I'm ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's doing a good thing. Can we just celebrate all the good things he's doing?
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.